The Planter's Place podcast is brought to you by Osmocote, the planter's plant food.
Hey everyone, Ellen Wells here with the Just Veggies podcast. I am also author of the Just Veggies blog here at plantersplace.com, so if you are into reading, give that a read. Today's my third installment of four that will riff off of the National Garden Bureau's Victory Gardening 2.0 trend that they have been talking about recently. And that is basically based on the fact that with more people staying at home in isolation due to the coronavirus pandemic, more people are gardening. You might have read about seed supplies being a little bit low on mail order seeds from Burpee or wherever. And people just want to get outside. Gardening is a great activity. It's also a great way to supplement your foodstuffs, and it helps you stay, you know, away from the grocery store. So you're isolating a little bit more. And gardens also provide great science experiments for kids. So kids are stuck at home trying to learn stuff in a non-traditional environment, and gardening is one of those things that will keep them engaged. So as I have been doing in my previous podcasts about the topic, I'm going to be giving a few of the National Garden Bureau's tips, and I will be riffing on them, sharing my own information and experience. Today's topic is all about considering planting your victory garden in a container. If you don't have any outdoor in-ground garden space, planting some vegetables in containers is a great option. So I'm going to share about four tips with you. The first tip is use bigger containers. So just like an in-ground garden where you think you can squeeze a whole bunch of plants, small plants, when you're first starting your garden, we often end up with a crowded garden by the end of the season. And that's because we forget that these plants grow and they grow big during the summer. So when in doubt, use a bigger container. Same thing's going to happen in your container. Oh, there's just a few plants here. I can squeeze in a few more. Don't. Just get a bigger container. Bigger pots means more soil, so you'll have to consider that. And it also means more soil means that they're going to be heavier. But with more soil, especially deeper, the deeper the pot, the more roots can grow. And that means you can add more water, and those plants will actually survive water stress a little bit more often. So you might not know it right now, but your container that is nice and moist in the showers of April, once it becomes root-bound in July or August, that pot is going to need more and more frequent watering. As for the pots being heavy, with being bigger pots and more soil, they sell these things at garden centers that basically it's a tray that the container sits on, and the tray has wheels, so you can just roll it around. Great idea. My second tip for today is think about pot placement. If your pots are going to be on a balcony or outdoor patio a little bit higher up off of the ground, or even on a roof deck, you have two things to consider. The buildings next door, structures next door to you, will they be shading your garden during the day? It might look nice and sunny in the morning, but what happens around noon when the sun starts going to the west? That often happens to me. I have intense sun in the mornings and shade all afternoon. So even though I want 6 to 8 hours of sun on my for my containers on my stoop, I get maybe 5 hours of intense sun and then shade. So I have a bit of a problem growing some vegetables on my front porch. So think about that. Look at the sun and where it goes before you put the pots out there permanently. The second consideration is, especially if you're on a rooftop or very high above the ground, it gets windy up there. And often the wind can shred leaves, especially leaves of broader vegetables such as squashes, watermelons, things like that. Wind can really rip them up. The third consideration is think about drip irrigation. So like I said, your pots will be nice and moist in April, but come August, your pots will be under that intense summer sun. They will need to be, plus there's more roots, it's more plants. You're using more water. So those plants are going to need watering maybe 2-3 times a day. All depends on what your conditions are. You might consider using drip irrigation. So drip irrigation systems are often customizable. You can add sets to them. They come in different numbers. So, you know, like you'll buy one set of, let's say, 6 tubes that can water containers. You can buy more sets and add on, building the length of your system, your irrigation system. And these often attach directly to a faucet at the, you know, somewhere in your house. So, and then connect that to a timer and you can automatically water your plants. It makes it much easier. And then the last consideration is plant some pollinator plants. So if your plants are somewhere that, you know, bees can't find you, they haven't been there before, it's not in their practice to go to your balcony, you might want to lure them there with some plants that they recognize, or at least some colorful flowers that they recognize, such as sunflowers, or nasturtiums, or marigolds. So those are three of my favorite plants to use to lure pollinators, honeybees, you know, things like that. Because vegetable plants, oftentimes, especially zucchinis and squashes and tomatoes, they need pollinators to come by and do their jobs. And that way, you will get the benefit of it by having your plants grow squashes and fruits and things like that. So, sunflowers, for instance, they're a benefit because they draw the bees through, and you can actually eat the sunflower seeds. Nasturtiums, they will lure pollinators in, and you can also eat them on salads. And the marigolds will actually attract bees, but also their roots emit some toxins that drive some soil-borne organisms away. But all of them are like, hey, bees, come over here. I've got some great stuff for you to eat. So that's why you plant some pollinators next to your vegetable plants. And that is it for today. So good luck with your garden. And remember those tips, especially that last one about planting some pollinator plants. And I will check in with you in a few months to see how it's going. Good luck.
To learn more from our gardening experts, join the community at plantersplace.com. And be sure to like Osmocote Plant Food on Facebook. Thanks for tuning in to the Planters Place podcast.